There's a report today, Linda O'Leary, wife of Shark Tank star Kevin O'Leary, had booze on her breath the night of a deadly boat crash. CBC actually obtained unsealed search warrant documents. Now, the OPP writes, O'Leary was administered an alcohol screening device test and registered an alert. She was served a three-day driver's license suspension. That means she registered between 0.05 and 0.08. That's where the alert stands. It's the federal rules that are over 0.08 when you blow over. Get this, provincial police say she claims she had a drink of vodka after the collision and prior to the breath test. O'Leary's returned to their cottage following the crash. That's when their son called 911. O'Leary could not remember who handed her the drink of vodka following the collision. Not from police. The Rush asked our legal analyst, Ed Prucci, if he's seen this sort of thing before.
It certainly happens. You get situations where people say, all right, by the time the police got to me, you know, maybe it was a minor collision. I went home and either I didn't think it was a big deal, so I was just drinking because I got home. Or some people I've seen say, you know what, it was a big deal. I was really nervous about it, and I actually had a drink to sort of calm my nerves. Now, of course, the skeptic is immediately saying, and in some cases this is the truth, actually had a drink to mask the fact that you were already drunk at the time that the accident happened.
Two people died in that boat crash, a woman from Uxbridge and a man from Florida. O'Leary's charged with careless operation of a vessel. At this point, the worst she faces if she's found guilty is a $10,000 fine. She claimed the boat did not have its navigational lights on. That's what they said initially. Now, the document states security camera video shows the boat shut off its navigational lights after it pulled away from the shore. We're hearing this was for the purpose of stargazing. So, yes, the navigational lights were not on. O'Leary, though, was also driving her boat at a substantial rate of speed. Now, in a statement to News Talk 1010, her lawyer writes, this tragic accident had nothing to do with alcohol. Linda O'Leary was not impaired. She is a highly experienced boater who was proceeding cautiously with due care and attention. She collided with a totally unlit boat on a moonless night, which was invisible to any prudent operator. No one could have avoided the collision. Now, our legal analyst, Ed, he also points out,
one of the big changes in recent impaired driving legislation has said it's an offense if you're in a situation in which it's likely or possible that you're going to be investigated for an impaired. It's an offense to actually drink within a couple of hours after the accident to prevent exactly this scenario.
So, but she didn't blow over. Here's where the confusion is. There really is this gray area in the province because, as we know, federal rules say 0.08, but the province decided to, it's sort of doing its own end around, make that 0.05 to 0.08. So really, I'm not saying legally, but for all intents and purposes, it's illegal to drive with a blood alcohol level over 0.05 in this province. And you end up, as you saw with Linda O'Leary,
with a suspension,
suspended
a
license. You know, they told us, initially the family told us, or a spokesperson for the O'Leary family, they were both tested for alcohol. Neither of them, they both passed the test. Both actually did pass the test.
Which can be true.
But is it?
At the same, you're right. I understand what you mean.
I mean, if you're suspended for 3 days, to me,
is that
you failed that test. I mean, your insurance is gone. Good luck with your insurance after getting a warning. And this is really the gray area that comes into play. I feel like we were sort of lied to initially by the family because there was something that occurred there. It wasn't just you pass the test, away you go, congratulations.
I guess it comes down to what your definition of pass is. And if they knew ahead of time that they could say, well, no, technically, and again, technically it's a pass. It's a little bit different. There's a transportation suspension. There's no criminality here.
Which to me is a fail.
But is that a fail or is that a pass? See, I understand what you're saying. I understand what the truth is. I understand what the law is. But I don't know if those words ring untrue.
It's just the waters are so muddy. And that's the problem with the province doing that end around with the federal rules and the 0.08 is that really it is 0.05 here. And she failed that number. And then it brings up the question, well, first of all, I'm sorry, but what kind of fool goes and has a drink knowing police are on the way and just been involved in an accident?
You heard Ed there. It does happen.
Well, it does happen. And he also notes that the cynic, which I'll be, is I've seen it. I mean, we saw it. Have you ever watched, Jersey Housewives? There was one of those.
I can safely say no to that question.
One of the individuals in that, it was the two controversial individuals, the one that was deported back to Italy, the other one, went to prison.
Oh, she went to prison, yeah.
Well, he was involved in an accident at one point and was claiming during the show, well, after the accident, I walked over to my friend's house. I was stressed out, so I started doing vodka shots. And they said, no, you're done. We're charging you. You were drinking. So you can see where that would be. I just can't see anyone going and drinking no matter how stressed out you are. And plus, let's add to the fact, well, let's add two things to it. One, someone gave her the drink, whom she suddenly doesn't remember giving her this drink, which is bull.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, you talk about all of the things that are going on. That's going to be tested in court.
I still don't believe it.
No, but that's going to be tested in court, as is the alcohol consumption.
I still don't believe it.
You know who handed you a drink. Believe it or not.
If it's you and your husband and your son, out of those three, you're not one of them. It's not hard to narrow down.
Okay, but again, it's not up to you to believe or disbelieve.
Well, I'm giving my opinion. I don't believe it. But also the aspect that if you had a drink of vodka, let's say you're back at home, you have a sip of vodka, you have a shot, you have two fingers on ice, that sort of thing. That's enough. Unless you haven't eaten all day for the past 24 hours, that's enough to put you in the warning range?
Again, that's something, and I can only speak to... I can only speak to my experience having tested the system when it came in Ontario with a member of the OPP who sat in studio with me. Actually, was a member of Toronto Police. For me to get into that range, I drank close to six beers within a two and a half hour period on a medium meal. And I finally got into the range just about the sixth beer. But that was my experience. Bodies are different. The cops will tell you this. What you've consumed as far as a meal is different. So what type of spirit, what type of alcohol, all of those things factor into where you are going to land on that range.
If she hadn't eaten, I could see it. But she was over to a friend's house for a cottage adventure. It was a dinner party.
Okay, there's no proof as to whether or not she ate, didn't eat. All of these things will be tested in the court of law. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, wonderful.
All I'm saying.
You've made your point. I'm still telling you, looking at this, how about your opinion on that? Looking at this, does it stink to you at all, Ryan?
You know what stinks to me?
Non-answer.
Poop.
Non-answer. You coward
poop.
Again.
Poop.
The guy's taken off for 3 days.
You're not going to get himself a job.
Sucking up to anybody.
Anyways,
we have courts for a reason. I'm not a judge.
But I'm asking you, does it stink at all?
I think it raises a lot of questions.
Absolutely.
To be sure, but that's why we have a court system.
Who drinks? The police are on the way. You've been in a boat crash. Hey, hand me the vodka, would you? I'm going to start doing shots.
Nobody said anybody was doing shots.
She's
alleged to have had one drink, and she claims that happened after the accident happened and before the breathalyzer happened. That's her claim. It'll be tested.
Well, we'll see.
All right.
Or will it even, for that matter, because the
poop,
only charge
Dave,
we have
go
is
to the poop
operating
story now, please.
We're doing our best to come up with a nickname. Forget poop story. We've come up with Fecal Flinger. We've had that since yesterday. Right. That seems to be a top choice, although there's love right now for Feces Fugitive. I kind of like that one, you know, just to change it up a bit. But be sure to send all your suggestions to Ryan Doyle. Either way, the manhunt continues for a man who's poured feces on three people in Toronto in the past 4 days. What have we learned today? All three victims, they're of Asian descent. Police, though, do not believe that community is being targeted.
I think that we need to take a step back from the Asian portion, because although all the victims appear as though they are from Asia, we have Southeast Asians, and we also have West Asians. So I wouldn't necessarily say that all the victims were Chinese, right? Because it wasn't.
A news release from the cops this afternoon says he's using liquefied fecal matter. Poop and water, I don't know. They're also out with a very clear picture of the suspect. Actually, yesterday's was pretty clear. Today is even more so. And the thing that stands out is he's wearing a construction helmet, because there's been speculation online maybe he's getting his liquefied fecal stuff from a porta potty on a construction site. He also has an official looking clipboard, which in the end could just all be part of the disguise, because we've seen it in the past when it comes to hitmen. I'm not sure so much about people who fling poop.
Yeah. Jesus. I'm not sure I was going to follow it. There's something not right here. I think that this one I can tell you there's something not right.
This one stinks?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, the idea that somebody would be targeting people based on their race, I think, is a little too far-fetched in all of it. I think we've got somebody who's got some serious mental health issues. That would be my guess. And now has got into the fetish of doing this kind of thing.
3 and 4 days. When does he stop?
How has this person not been caught yet, though?
Yeah, the picture's really clear.
This cannot be that difficult.
Wait a minute, that guy's not on our crew. What's he doing in the porta potty?
You know that guy? Hey, Tommy, you know that guy?
Oh, hold on. He's got a clipboard. Let him go.
It's all this pollution going on.
He's got a helmet on. He looks official. The truth is with these stories, quite often when there's a clear picture, we see it all the time. Sometimes they have them. At this very moment, they might have him in custody, because there's just that time period between making the arrest, someone offers up themselves, they surrender, and then we hear about it tonight at 8:30 sort of thing in a news release. So it's not going to be very long. It's a really clear picture.
So as a news person, I asked Ken Shaw the same question today. When you see this story break, and you did a great job. I loved your soundbite at 4 o'clock. When a story like this breaks in New York, do you get a kick out of it, or are you like, oh, great, this is the story that breaks in New York? Yeah. It's in the Post, right?
Yeah, the Post. You can see it be their kind of material as
totally.
Well.
It's like a headline.
I kind of ignore it, but you're always looking for new ways to lead into stories.
Yeah.
So that's where
you were like, New York City.
Yeah. Remember, what was that
Big
from?
Loop.
That was from that commercial, that old salsa commercial.
Yeah.
New York City. But whatever.
You think that there could be a possibility that the perpetrator is in custody?
Oh, yeah,
is that
right.
What
that's right.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm.
Well, he's doing it. Can I get in on it? He's been doing it all
Ryan,
day.
Ryan, grow up. Ryan, yes. Grow up. No, I hope they. I hope they find him soon. But as I said, the picture is so clear; it's not going to take very long, unless he's made his way out of out of the city.
Somebody wrote at 7:10:10 today. I couldn't believe there was one, and then two. Now a turd incident.
That's good. That shows the creativity of our listenership.
I left him back. I'm like, well done.
Well done. We got this is interesting. The train.
Yeah, so.
The train.
The train.
No, all of a sudden, I'm tattooing Ricardo Montalban.
Up here, you're already in
the
Dallas.
Train, Dave. The train.
the end of the nationwide rail strike is within sight. CN Rail and Teamsters, they reached a tentative deal to renew a collective agreement. More than 3,000 workers. It ends a strike that was halting shipments, triggered layoffs, disrupted industries across the country. It's actually behind the scenes. You really didn't see anything at this point, 8 days in, but it was a pretty big deal, holding up shipments. Normal operations at CN will resume tomorrow at 6 a.m., but something they came out with actually in the 11th hour, right before the deal was reached, is the union released a recording between a supervisor and a train conductor who was refusing to move a train, claiming, well, we're tired.
My engineer is exhausted. I'm exhausted. I've told you we're exhausted right from the get-go. We warned you. We told you that. We were on the same page over 3 hours ago, maybe 4 hours ago now. And now I'm still talking to you about moving this train. I'm not refusing duty. I just need you to contact Transport Canada for me and my health and safety rep, please.
Union claims this illustrates CN's blatant disregard for the health and safety of our members and for the public. This happened October of last year near Pickering. The thing is, they were still on the clock.
Okay, when you took your call, you need to be fit for 12 hours. Personal rest is not a regulatory or safety issue. So knowing that, are you refusing to bring the train to the rescue location? Over.
They had just been working for just over 10 hours at that point. And as you heard, the supervisor says you need to be fit for duty, essentially, for 12 hours when you start a shift. So we're still underneath that. The conductor says over and over again,
we're not refusing duty.
You just hear that constantly. We're not refusing. We're not refusing. That's to the question, are you refusing to bring the train to the switchover location? Turns out he was refusing. He did not move the train, was suspended for 14 days without pay.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so they do crack down sometimes.
Also, who released this recording?
It was the union. That's the best part. I don't think it makes the union look good.
I don't think they look good at all in that situation.
No, it was really just continues to, call, I want Transport Canada, and we're very tired. Well, like the guy says, when you come to work, I mean, it'd be like, how many days at about 4 o'clock, I would say, yeah, I'm feeling exhausted. I don't think I want to do the 5 and 6
I need you to call the federal broadcast regulator, get my supervisor on the phone. That's wild.
Yes.
And they thought that was going to make them look good.
Also, whoever said that train chat wasn't sexy as hell? That was, I tell you, I'm a little bit bothered, a little warm.
Nothing like a good argument.
That's a good point. We've got more arguments, I'm sure, coming up as we continue here on The Rush. Dave McKee's views on the news in moments.
It is 6:15.
Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. Some car stories.
Car
here.
Stuff. Yeah. Your intros right now, not very good.
No, normally they're on point.
At cars, train.
When's my flight?
When's my flight?
See, anyways, planes, trains, and automobiles.
To the car stuff, police letting us
pillows.
Know. But yeah, well, five luxury vehicles. They were stolen from the driveways in Ajax last month. Sure, you're thinking, rich people and their Lexus. Oh, it was stolen. And you're all out of Grey Poupon. Boo-hoo. But it's how they were stolen. It happened at night. Vehicles were locked. They were stolen without the keys. Police say the suspects are reprogramming the factory settings on your vehicle and then just programming new keys.
They're using some sort of a technology that, like I said, intercepts the key fob transmission, the broadcast that the fob sends out to the vehicle, and somehow they're manipulating it and either copying it and reprogramming the vehicle and the fobs.
We're seeing this more and more. Now, the suggestion, keep your fob away from the door, okay, or get a Faraday bag.
No, just get a coffee tin.
Does it work
as well?
Yeah,
you don't need a Faraday bag. I've been debunking the Faraday bag
for
years.
You don't like the Faraday bag?
No, get a chock full of nuts can or a Folgers can and put your keys in it. You're good.
What am I, poor?
Well, okay, go on Amazon, you fancy Faraday bag, and get your own then.
Sounds like
I'm just trying to help people.
Yeah, fancy Faraday bagger.
It's the truth, though.
Oh, he's got a can for a Faraday bagger.
Who told you? Once in college. It's $22 on Amazon. No, but this is the point we're at. Coffee cans and Faraday bags, because this is how advanced, I mean, we're seeing this more and more. I've seen the videos in the past, too. Them outside the house searching for the signal. They say it might come two ways. It might come that it's you have it hanging on a hook near that door. And even when you sometimes lock your car, if they're in the range, that's they pick it up in that moment when you hit the, you know, the beep beep.
Yeah, my fob for my car. Good luck even trying. Like, I've been hitting that button 100 times for the thing to open and then for it to start, because you need to use it to start the engine. It takes forever. I don't know if the battery's dead on the damn thing, but it's like I couldn't steal my own car if I tried.
That's true. It's I don't know how they do
it. It's just a rant about my car.
Well, five vehicles, luxury vehicles, that's in a month.
The criminals are good.
Yeah, but maybe it's also, maybe they tried to steal 50 and they only got five, so maybe there's the gap.
Toronto police out with quite the warning tonight, Dave.
There you go. You're getting it back.
You read half my lead. We can do this one quick. There's a rash of break-ins. They happened last weekend, and they've been happening while the residents are home. So 10 properties were hit. This is over 2 days. It's the area surrounding Dundas on Royal York Road and Bloor and Royal York. Police say the suspect entered the homes through unlocked doors and windows. He's described as a white guy in his 30s, and he was wearing a tracksuit. The advice is simple. Lock your doors, lock your windows before you go to bed. Which is cold now, but maybe people still leave them unlocked. You know, sometimes you crack them a little
bit. There are still people who live in this city that keep their doors open, which I don't understand. At night when they go to sleep.
Too trusting.
Way too trusting. This is quite the interesting road report.
Yeah, Trent University professor says the Ontario government needs to take a hard look at new revenue tools, including, they call it road pricing. Yeah, it's tolls. The report is called Ontario's Downward Trend for Fuel Tax Revenue. Will road pricing fill the gap? Now, the professor writes that technological improvements have resulted in greater fuel efficiency. Plus, millennials, the retired, they're not driving as much. As a result, he thinks the time has come to introduce new vehicle-related charges to compensate for the expected decline in future fuel tax revenue. Ontario should recognize that both dynamic road pricing and innovative parking charges, I love how they make it sound so positive, are critical to alleviating congestion in our urbanized areas such as, well, the GTA. These funds could help pay for road and transit infrastructure. It was commissioned, this report. This actually, I think it's the third report they've commissioned by the Residential and Civil Construction Alliance of Ontario. It says the decline of fuel tax revenue will present challenges in light of, well, the massive infrastructure requirements we need. It talks about how high occupancy toll lanes are a more effective way for users to pay for traveling on our highways. Drivers can either pay the toll by the time of day or distance, or just not pay it at all, right? You just go in the regular general purpose lanes. But it's never good to hear them talking about more tolls.
Well, no, it depends. I was never against the idea of optional tolls, right? It's when you force them on everybody, which will be an inevitability if we don't go down this road eventually. When you say to people, you can use the high occupancy toll lane and you're gonna pay for that, you get where you're going faster, but there's a premium on it. Not everybody's going to choose that, meaning everybody else will still ride the roads for free, but it'll take you longer. But dinging people and making some money off of choice is a good idea, fundamentally.
Yeah.
I was for it when the mayor brought it up. Motorists are against it because no one wants to pay their freight. But, you know, ultimately, it's a good idea that it's going to need to be done.
I think they show the numbers. They show by 2040, I think it's less than half, where it averaged in the peak of fuel taxes before cars were fueled. I think it was like $188. And now it's going to be down to $77 per person by 2040. So it's a dramatic decline, really almost a third.
Yeah.
So you got to do something.
You have to do something. The auditor was in the news today.
Yes, the province's auditor general has looked at the government's $230 million cost estimate for canceling green energy contracts. And she says, yeah, that's reasonable. NDP leader Andrea Horvath. Yeah, she's like, whatever. Relax, Andrea. Because Horvath and other Ford haters, they were fixated on that cost, concerned it might go higher and ignoring the projected $500 million in total savings. So she asked Bonnie Lissick, take a closer look. And she did. And she says, yeah, it's fine. It's the estimate's reasonable.
Yeah, you're right, though. Everybody seems to ignore the billions of dollars
in savings. I couldn't understand this story. There was such excitement over this story, but fine, $230 million to cut the contracts. But if at the end of the day their estimate is even remotely accurate of $750 million, you're looking at $500 million in savings. Let's say you made a huge error and you only saved $50 million. It's still worth
it. It's still savings.
Yes, at the end of the day.
But I think the opposition's done a good job of positioning the other numbers so that people think that that's the price tag and we're all on the hook for it.
And that's what it's all about, right? Yeah. And even the teachers are regurgitating it. Oh, you spent $230 million on... Yeah, well, we're getting savings out of canceling those contracts in the long run. So stop saying, like, we just lose $230 million.
This is a story we talk about quite often on this segment, but worthwhile update.
Well, we can do a quick. Health officials say they have more evidence that a certain chemical compound is a culprit in a national outbreak of vaping illnesses. So a study released today and analyzed vaping cartridges gathered in Minnesota. So they were gathered during the outbreak this year and cartridges seized in that state last year. So the newer cartridges, they had vitamin E acetate. None of the older ones did. So another example that that is in fact a factor here.
And something I would pay a lot of money for.
Oh, I would too, actually. There's an auction that's coming up next month featuring some noteworthy Hollywood memorabilia. First up,
it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
The red cape worn by the late Christopher Reeve in 1978, Superman. It's one of six original capes. They think it could fetch as much as $200,000. I would buy that. I really would.
Yeah, I mean, neither of us have that kind of money, but...
If I did, wouldn't that be great down in your man cave? What's that? Superman's cape.
Was it an ode to your teenage virginity?
Pretty much.
Oh, why did you go there? I love memorabilia.
I love Dave because he always plays along. He's like,
well, you know me. I love memorabilia and that kind of stuff. And that for me would be.
I think it's amazing. They also have a pipe from Lord of the Rings. They have William Shatner, Captain Kirk jacket, Wrath of Khan. Custom the Captain America chopper from Easy Rider, one that was used for publicity.
Oh.
So it wasn't the one in the movie. It was one used for publicity. Still.
I always like the music stuff. Like, I would love to have had like an Eddie Van Halen guitar.
That would be good.
Something like that. That's the kind of stuff I geek out over.
The sports stuff for me is obviously the big stuff on my end. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
What's that, Eddie Van Halen? What?
No. I was having a moment. I'm like, I don't think I want to talk to you for the rest of the show.
Why?
Because you're leaving.
Oh. I just meant the sports stuff that I collect. Never mind. Okay. Dave, thanks. This is going to get awkward from here on in. You want to leave?
Oh, yeah.
Do it now, buddy.
See you later. Thank
Dave McKee, he'll be here tomorrow with Kathleen Wynn and Jay.
When the rush continues, is it ever a good idea to pay off your partner's debt? Especially when they're leaving for 3 days and God knows where they're going to. And if there's gambling there, I could go on, but I won't. More when we come back.